If you are investing in transactional relationships, you're going to run out of talent. People are going to see through that eventually. You're just going to be using people. You're going to be, well, I'll take you to lunch, but then you need to give me a tender.
Your connections need to know what you're doing. So whether it's through LinkedIn, whether it's through chatting to them over coffee or wherever it is, but they need to understand what you are busy with.
Know who is my friend, who is my supporter, and who is my connection. Understand the difference between those three. Understand where they fit in terms of your value chain and how you approach them in terms of sales and referrals and things like that. Before we start this podcast, will you please like, follow, and subscribe to the Right Place podcast right here on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Rudolf and I would also love to connect with you on LinkedIn, so look us up there too. Thank you. Cheers.
Welcome to the Right Place podcast. And as always, I'm joined by John Watson. And so exciting to have a chat to you again and to see where we can help other people and maybe learn something for ourselves as well in the process. John, how's your week been?
It's been good, Rudolf. It's been good. It's been productive. I like having a productive week. And I like saying no to things that are distractions. So it's been a good week so far on your side.
Yeah, it's been very busy. I see a lot of people ask me on LinkedIn, but the previous week I had probably one of the worst weeks in many years. And after a weekend of rest and new challenges, I think this week's been much better. And also it's been really, really busy, but with things that I enjoy. So if you do things that you like and that you're good at, that comes naturally almost, that energize you, you don't actually get that tired. So I like what you said about saying no to people, but sometimes saying yes to the right things is just as important. So it's important to have those boundaries, but to stay within your skill set, to stay within your framework of where you want to go, and then hopefully reach it as well. John, I think today we want to have a little bit of a chat about making friends, about building connections out, and essentially then in the end, winning over connections, and trying to see with one of our phrases that we use quite often, how we build relationships that last. And yeah, maybe if you can set a bit of a scene for this and build out some context in terms of this discussion.
Yes. So I've recently released the Connectability Scorecard. And one of the people that completed it, he sent me a DM on LinkedIn. And he said his challenge is he attends networking events, but all that he seems to make is friends. And he'd rather make some connections that can help him in terms of growing his company and increasing sales. And that got me thinking about what are we actually doing in terms of our connections, our friends, our supporters, and how can we better manage them? Because obviously not every single person can buy from us. Not every single person can be a supporter of what we are producing in terms of our products or our services. So I think today we want to explore who are my friends, who are my connections, who are my supporters, and how can I add value to them, but also how can I get the most value out of them? So we have been talking about finding your own right place in 2025 when we've looked at your roles and your relationships and your environment. Now, I think we want to look at those relationships in a little bit more detail. And if I can just go through what are the definitions that we're going to be talking about today, and maybe that will kind of set the foundation before we dive in a little bit deeper. So I think the friendships one is easy. We know who our friends are. They know who we are. And it might be school friends. It might be family friends. It might be friends that we went to varsity with or colleagues that we've accumulated during our career. Close friends, people that we bribe with, people that we hang out with on a regular basis. And that is built on mutual trust. It's built on shared values. And it's built on a personal connection. You know this person. You can maybe share personal information with them, your families hang out, all of that stuff. But they're not necessarily an investor in your business. They're not necessarily a client. They're not necessarily a big supporter of your business. They're just a friend. And that's fine. We all have friends like that. And then if you look at the connection side, and this is a word that we use a lot. So what is a connection? Well, a connection is a relationship based on shared interests, industries, or potential business opportunities. So these relationships are friendly, but they're not necessarily a friend. It's someone like that you know, you met at an industry event, at a networking event, someone that you see regularly in your sphere of influence. But it's more on the professional side. So it's a good connection to know, but you're not necessarily going to go to church with them or have a bra on a Friday with them or something like that. So they're a little bit different to a friend. And then you've got your supporters. So now the supporters one is something that we actually haven't spoken about a lot, but who are your supporters? So your supporters are the people that actively believe in your mission, your vision, and your cause. So they champion whatever that you are about. And again, they might not be close friends or direct connections, but they advocate for you. They repost your content. They give you a thumbs up. They like what you're about and they support you and they might send clients your way or they might refer you. So all of these three types of people are around us. And some people fulfill just one part. They're a connection, they're a friend, they're a supporter. But other people might fit two of those boxes or even three of those boxes. And I think that's what we want to unpack today.
Yeah, so John, you spoke about friend and that your friends can also be connections then. But do you think that all your connections can become friends?
I think that's a great question. I don't think so. I think a friend is a connection, but it's not necessarily a professional connection. It's a good connection to have. But the connections that you build up over time, it's maybe someone that you're friendly with. So it's not necessarily your best buddy. And also, I mean, when we unpack this, we need to think, how can I maintain these connections, these friends, these supporters? It doesn't help I have 100 friends. Then I'm going to struggle to know who do I invite to my braai on Saturday or who do I invite to go to a concert or to the rugby? Because I've got this long list of friends that I have to maintain and I want to give everyone an equal share. So I don't always believe that every connection can be a friend, but it can be a professional friend. And I think maybe that's the differentiator. You've got your personal friends, you've got your professional friends as well. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, it's very interesting. I think I might have mentioned it before, but I don't have a whole host of deep connected friends. And I shouldn't have used the word connected now because we're talking about connections. But I see a friend as someone that I can share some personal life with as well. Things that other people don't necessarily know. Things that are something that you maybe keep in your household or tight. And that you're not just an open book, and I don't think any of us are. When I do those tests, I'm normally on the extrovert side, but it's still not a fact that I give everything of me just away to anyone. So I do have friends, and those guys are close to me. They know things about me that other people will not know, and I can share life with them. And it's a core group of people that I can bounce ideas with, but they will also tell me straight that, Rudolf, you're being stupid. You're thinking in the wrong direction here. If you're going to do this, that and that and that's going to happen. And I can bounce decisions of any aspect of my life of these guys. And I regard them as pivotal, as instrumental in me moving forward in anything within my life. And a lot of them are from my church background, from religion, but also some of them came through work and some of them came through just growing up together. So it's different backgrounds, different aspects, but we're not all in accounting. We're not all in finance. We're completely different in a lot of respects, but we have mutual interest in that we get along. And we can share things with each other that others don't know. And I think those are really close friends. But on the connection side, I think a lot of your connections over time can become more friendly, as you said. So you become familiar with each other and you get to know each other, and they might convert into a friend over time. But I would not expect that to be the norm. I think my friends are definitely connections, but my connections are not always going to turn out into a friend. I would almost say that it would very seldom turn into a friend. It takes a lot of work and a lot of effort to become friends. And it's something that will happen naturally. It's not something that you have to go and force and push, because then it's one-sided. It's only from the one angle, from your side. If it happens naturally over the course of time, it will grow into a friendship. And it is possible. It can happen. But I think, as I said, it's not the norm. It's not going to happen every time. And probably less seldom than just friends being a connection as well. I want to ask John, and I'm thinking about this connections part, because I think for friends, for me, is very much in a box. But on the connection side, almost anyone that I meet, and we always talk about events, but almost anyone that I meet is in some way, shape, or form a connection. It's someone that I have their details. I know what they do. I can potentially make contact with them, or I can introduce them to someone else, or I can introduce someone else to them. How would you define, or how would you go about putting someone in the connection box, if I can ask that? Is it merely anyone that you have met, that you have contact with, or is there a little bit more of a narrow view maybe?
I think, yeah, that's a great question. I think the connection side, we each manage our relationships in a slightly different way. Some people are very compartmentalized, where I've got my church friends, I've got my school friends, I've got my work colleagues. And then you get to your more looser connections. And I think maybe this goes down to what Judy Robinet wrote in her book, How to Become a Power Connector, is that you cannot maintain 1,000 different connections and relationships. You're going to run out of talent eventually, and you're not going to be able to give everyone the attention that they deserve and that you want to give. Yeah. So I think you need to figure out a way, okay, how do I manage my connections? And also, a connection might be in your realm for a season or a certain period of time, depending on what work you're doing or what projects you're busy with. So you might meet a new connection in January and you're working on a project, and it's within your interest to keep this connection warm and to be in contact with them regularly and to catch up. But maybe at the end of the year, your project's finished or you're moving on to a new thing, and you don't necessarily have much more value to add to them, and you don't have or value to receive from them. So they're just a cool person to know, and you're connected with them. So again, it depends on how busy you are, what you're busy with, and what season of life you're in, and also what season of life they are in as well. Maybe there is alignment. Maybe there is something that you can collaborate with together. But then you need to almost put your connections in a box. Like, these are really useful people to know. I need to keep close tabs on them. I want to add value to them. I believe maybe in the future we can do something cool together, or they can open doors for me, or I can open doors for them. So you kind of have a box for those people. And then you've got a box for maybe people that you see regularly, but you haven't quite found this strong foundation or common ground yet, because you just haven't spent enough time together. So you've got these potential great connections, but they're kind of in the I'm not so sure yet where they fit in box. And maybe they feel the same about you. So you've got this mutual liking. You like this guy. You can hang out. You can talk nonsense. And then you've got these other connections, people that you see, you might have connected on LinkedIn. And that's all that it's ever going to be. It's not going to go further than that. Maybe you're just in two polar opposite industries, or this guy's sitting in Canada, you're sitting in Cape Town, or you're in Pretoria, he's in Poland, whatever the case is. So you might just have a connection. And every now and again, you might like each other's stuff on LinkedIn, or follow each other's content, or you might be a guest on their podcast or vice versa. So you have these friendly connections, but it doesn't necessarily translate into a direct benefit to you. I think there's also a lot of different boxes. I mean, it depends on your personality. It depends how deliberate you are and how intentional you are in maintaining connections. And also, you might meet someone and say, like, I need a relationship with this person. I need to invest time in this. I need to speak to this person regularly. I need to pick their brain on stuff because they're an expert in this field that you want to get more information out of. So I think then, you know, it depends how much effort you want to put in, how much time do you want to invest in it, because that will then ultimately elevate that connection maybe into a relationship, and maybe they'll become a best friend over time as well.
Yeah, I like the fact that you brought up Judy Robinette's book there. And I think there it's very clear that you have this number of people in your life and you need to almost rank them to an extent where you've got a specific close circle, bit of a wider circle, and then a circle that you keep in touch with almost. And I think that is very important because we only have this much time. And then something else that I picked up now from what you said is we have this online version of connections. And I think on LinkedIn specifically, they call it a connection. You connect with someone. You don't, Facebook, I think was you befriend them or you become friends, but on LinkedIn, it's a connection. And you have this online environment where we connect with people that we potentially might never meet. We'll never meet them in real life, or they follow us and we follow them. But we also have the physical world, the real world, where you get to know a person, you drink coffee with them. I like coffee. I know you don't drink as much coffee as I do, but you go for a lunch or you play golf with someone and you get to know them a lot more intimately. And through that process, I think you firm up the connection. It might lead to a friendship over a course of time, but all those actions and the deliberateness of it, deliberately going and saying, listen, let's make this date, let's go and play golf, or let's have the coffee. And I can use an example. Beginning of the year, someone invited me to a braai, actually on New Year's Eve, and we couldn't make it. I said to him, sorry, man, we can't make it. And he responded and saying, okay, but can we braai over the weekend? And I think New Year's Eve was a Tuesday. I'm like, okay, let's braai Friday. Come to my place. And we had a braai. And after the braai, they've got a young baby. So the braai was late afternoon and they left early evening. And as he walked out, he turned around and he asked me, so let's put in the date for the next braai at our place. And 3 weeks later, we went and have a braai at their place. We haven't had a braai in 3 or 4 years. We've seen each other, but we've not had a family get together for very long. And he's like, no, but let's set up the date for the next one. And then at the next one, we set up a date to go and watch rugby. So things just snowballed, but it was deliberate. It was intentional. Yeah. It was something that we said, okay, let's fix the date for the next event. And through that process, the wives get to know each other, the kids get to know each other, and then you become friendly and you become friends. And we were friends before, but I mean, we get to know each other and we rekindle that to an extent. And I think, yes, it can start out as a mere connection, but it can go deeper. We must also be very careful not to just use a connection for what we can get out of it. And I think that is something we advocate quite a bit for, is that, and you mentioned it earlier on as well, is how can I be useful to someone else, not just use them? Because as soon as you start using, people will cut you off. That is as simple as it is. They'll start ignoring you. They'll start saying no because you are just taking. And I think it's a matter of seeing how I can add value to someone else's life. I got connected to you now. What are you interested in? What do you do? How can I help you? How can I assist? And through that process, they will almost feel that they have to give something back to you as well. But apart from that, you are this connector now, and you can connect them with one or two other people that make sense to them, even though there might not be anything in it for you. I think that is the important part, to get a connection beefed up and firmed up, because they will not always become your friends, but you can add value to them. And through adding value, they become closer and closer connections. And even though they're not your friends, they see the value in assisting you, in sticking close to you, and to send things your way.
No, 100%, Rudolph. I think the value thing is incredibly important. If you feel that you're not getting value out of your network, your connections, your supporters, or your friends, then you need to look inwards and say, okay, well, what value am I actually getting? Have I got transactional relationships with certain connections? Okay, I'll support you if you support me, or I'll come to your event, but you must come to my event. Or are you leading the charge and adding so much value that people are just like, oh my word, I need to do something for John, or I need to do something for Rudolph because they've added so much value to me. I feel almost obliged to add value to them. So if you are investing in transactional relationships, you're going to run out of talent. People are going to see through that eventually. You're just going to be using people. You're going to be, well, I'll take you to lunch, but then you need to give me a tender, that type of stuff. And I think maybe that's to answer the DM that I received on LinkedIn, turning connections into supporters or not just making friends the whole time. You need to look at, well, what value am I adding? If I attend an event, am I sharing contacts? Am I being helpful? And I saying, hey, man, I've had that similar problem. Let me help you with that. Or speak to my accountant or speak to my lawyer about this. Or are you just there, hey, here's my business card, buy my stuff. If you're just doing that, you're just going to offend everybody. And your connections are going to turn sour. Your friends are going to get few. And you're not going to have supporters out there. But if you're actively supporting other people's businesses, actively supporting their events, their launches, their products, their services, and telling other people about that, well, then people are going to do that for you as well. And I mean, that's that simple. I think it's a Bible verse or it's a saying, like, treat others the way you want to be treated. You want people to support you, well, support them. Just support them. And I think that's where we can maybe turn connections into supporters, by adding value, providing consistent value, and not keeping score, although everyone does automatically keep score. I mean, you know, just looking at your friends, who owes you a braai, who owes you a concert ticket, or who's going to pay for the next round of drinks after work, something like that. Everyone knows that in their mind. They're keeping, subconsciously keeping score. Well, the same works with your supporters. But I think if you add value, and we've said this a million times on the podcast, and a lot of our best connections say that as well, adding value turns connections into supporters. And I think the supporters then can help you get more connections, better connections. And I think that's where it comes down to the fact of, what am I being intentional about? Am I being intentional about just accumulating connections all over the place? Or am I being intentional about adding value and I'm connecting with the right people?
Yeah, I think the thread here is that the difference almost between just a mere connection and a supporter is the value element, where you are able to show that you're supporting them through adding value to their network, to their business, to their connections as well. So if you can move away from just merely connecting and knowing about each other, but actually giving something, supporting them in some sort, then you are the supporter. Whereas the same if they do that with you. But if you're only on LinkedIn connected, or you've got the person's number and you've met once or twice, but you haven't interacted somehow, then it's merely a connection. If you start interacting and you start giving, then you're becoming a supporter. And likewise on the reverse, if they support. And I think that the value aspect is very important there. And I think it was René Lombard at some stage that posted this screenshot on LinkedIn of a potential client that complained about how ridiculous his pricing is. And then he very calmly responded something like, we can talk about the value. He didn't say anything about the price. He didn't say, let's negotiate, nothing. He just said, we can talk about the value that it gives. Or otherwise, you can probably get someone else that can do it for cheaper. But he has a value proposition and he knows he's worth it. And that is a whole discussion on its own in terms of value. But if you can add value to someone else's life, even at a cost, because not everything is for free. I mean, you can jam pack something and say, listen, this is what we can do for you. And this is how I can help you. And there is a cost to it. But if it makes a difference or if it makes sense to the other person, you start, building that rapport and you start exchanging value in the end. And I think, a big mistake or something that we do wrong sometimes is we automatically go into sales mode. We go into this discussion of saying, listen, what can I do for you? Or how can I assist? But we're actually trying to sell something. And that's rather off-putting. I think for me, a thing that works quite well is to just rather ask, listen, how can I help you? Or, can you help me with this or reach out in terms of help? People like to help. People like to offer help. But it doesn't have to be a transactional thing where you're saying, listen, I've got this to offer and just automatically move into I'm selling something to the other person. Because that even that connection will fade very quickly. Because we get bombarded with sales from every angle in our life these days. So it's rather important to be genuine. And to commit to doing something, and even if it's not free, don't just go in there to try and sell, or pretend or drive a buying transaction on your side again. I think it's important to be very genuine, but also to exchange value in that process. To say, listen, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to connect you to this person, and maybe can you help me with this? And there's a value exchange and not necessarily a financial transaction that needs to take place.
No, 100%. I think it was Renier also that said, I don't mind buying from you, but please don't sell to me. And I think what we've also learned from doing Darren Lee's podcast, Incubator, is people are trying to sell to the wrong people. I might not be interested in your product. I might not be your ideal client. So why are you trying to sell to me? You should rather be... spending that time and effort and energy in learning more about me. Because I might not be your client, but I might know 10 people that are. But now you've dismissed me as not being a client or not interested in your product. Well, now you don't have access to my network. Now you don't know who I know. I might have a friend, but you've just dismissed me and I've seen straight through your sales pitch. So, well, now you haven't lost one sale, you've lost 10 sales. And I think that is such an obvious thing, but some people still just don't click that. And I think it's important to understand that, guys, what is your intention? What is your intention? Is your intention to be sales? Well, then arrange a sales conference, run meta ads, and sell like that. But when you're talking to people, you should be investing time in learning more about them. Is this an interesting person to know? Asking strategic questions about what do they do? Who are their clients? Who are their supporters? Who are their, what are their products and services about? Because that's how you color in your network and you say, hey, man, there's potential with Yanni over here. He might know some of my ideal clients, but I need to first build a relationship with him. I first need to add value to him. If I'm not going to do that, I'm going to lose that. And I'm going to be known as this shark in whatever network you're in or whatever industry you're in. And that's not a good reputation. To rescue your reputation is sometimes impossible. You almost have to change careers and go and do something else rather. But Rudolf, what I wanted to talk about next is how do we turn connections into supporters? Because it's good to have lots of connections. And we deal with people that have thousands and thousands of connections, but how do I turn them into a supporter, into someone that's going to advocate for my business, someone that's going to tell other people about my stuff? Have you got any ideas there?
Well, to start off with is for the person to be a supporter, you need to understand what you do. And I think that is something that takes quite a bit of time. I can't, as we said now, you can't go and just sell to someone. You need to build this relationship. So you your connections need to know what you're doing. So whether it's through LinkedIn, whether it's through chatting to them over coffee or wherever it is, but they need to understand what you are busy with, but you also need to understand what they are busy with. It's the only way that people are going to really care about what you do is if you care about what they do. So it's important that we firstly foundationally understand what the other person do. If I've got an interest in something, let's say golf. I've got an interest in golf. I'm going to follow people that are also interested in it. Automatically, I'm going to start looking at what the golf scores are. I'm going to talk about people that I know within the golf industry and so on. I'm going to follow one or two trendy people in the golf environment. And through that, you're going to understand that I like golf. And please don't invite me for too much golf because I suck at it. But I have clubs, but I suck at it. But the fact is that people will get to know you because you talk about it and you propose it and so on. And then they will start inviting you to golf. It's just the way life works. So I think the very first thing for me is you need to be rather vocal about what you do. You can't sit back and expect people to come to you and then you tell them what you do. So like you said, with the meta ads and all the AdWords of Google and so on, you are your own little advertising board. So talk about what you do and be consistent in it. It doesn't help that you talk about 20 different things and people are like, yo, I don't know what he actually does for a living. So take you as an example. You talk about connections, building better connections and using your network to build out a business. That is what you're known for. And people see it on LinkedIn when you chat to them on the podcast everywhere. So that to me is the first step. And if they like that, they will start spreading that on your behalf over time. So I think that to me is the first step. I don't know if you probably have five things to add now.
No, what I wanted to say is this is one of the reasons why I built the Connectability Scorecard is because people want to turn connections into sales. They want to turn connections into supporters. They want more people to buy from them. But there is just not enough ammunition. So word of mouth is one thing, but you can't just have word of mouth. You literally can't just tell your friend, okay, say this speech to everyone that you meet. You need ammunition. You need to empower your supporters to be able to share stuff with them, with other people, and say, hey, this is our latest blog. This is our latest video. I was on this podcast, or this is our latest product review, or we've revised our website to be more user-friendly. If you know of anyone who's looking for our services, please share this. So the Connectability Scorecard was designed especially for this, to empower you to get more supporters. Because if you're connectable, then it's very, very easy for me to share your website, to share your YouTube channel, your blog, and to introduce you because you've got ammunition. And also, like what we've learned from Darren, is people need between 5 to 7 hours of content of you to become familiar with you, to see you in action, to understand who is this actual person? Who is this? What are their products about? What is their company about? What are their services about? In the old days, people just used to hand out flyers. They'd print 5,000 flyers and maybe two people would phone you because it's just a flyer. I wasn't interested in buying, I'm just going to throw it away. But if I've seen you over time and I know who you are and I've learned about you and you've got a good LinkedIn profile and there's consistency and you're visible at events, then I can become familiar and I can really help become a supporter of your business. One of the companies that I always support and I always champion is Feldskun. They did an amazing talk at CBN. Nick Dreyer came and told the whole incredible origin story. They did a massive display. And I own 4 pairs of Feldskun. I know there are other brands of Fellies out there, but I'm not even interested in them because I'm a supporter of Feldskun. I love what they're about. I love the story. I love the vibe. I've met the people. And I love their content. I read all of their newsletters. And I really, really respect the team. And I'm a champion for them. I support them. I wear them all the time. But it's because I built that relationship over time. I know what they're about. So imagine if you did that for your business and you helped people become a supporter, become a champion of your business. You need to empower them. You can't just be sending stuff from 2021 and expect it to be current or to land with the same effect as it did then. So the more ammunition you have, the better your website, your content, that makes it so easy to share. And then also you need to look at, how do you distribute this stuff? Are you having a newsletter? Are you regularly inviting friends? Hey, we're doing a free session on our new product. Please come and check it out. I want to tell you all about it, with no expectations of anything in return. And I think that's how you build over time, you strengthen these connections. These people love what you do. They love what you do. They're like, oh, this is the best accountant I know. This is the best lawyer I know. This is the best PR firm that I know. And if anyone asks for an accountant or a lawyer or a PR firm, they recommend you, because you've built that relationship and they've got ammunition. Say, oh, go to their website. They've got the best websites, can answer all of your questions, things like that. And I think people miss that. They want the sales. They want this amazing connection, but they don't want to invest in it. They don't want to invest the time in working on their business. They're in their business, and they come up for air. I'm going to attend an event, and now I want 10 million rand in sales. It honestly doesn't work like that. It's not how you play the game. And we know very successful people that play the game. They're visible. They're all over the place. And it comes down to, simple stuff is time management. If you're just in the business Monday to Friday and you haven't connected with your network and you haven't reached out to your supporters and you haven't chatted to the real people in your network, that is a bad investment. Yes, you might be getting stuff fixed in your company, but you're losing the game, or your value in your network is going down. So that it might feel overwhelming right now, but if you just put some certain structures in place and get the right people on board to assist you with this, and there's a lot of free content on this, you don't have to pay for anything, then you can turn this around and you can be a highly connectable company with a lot of supporters. People love what you do and they want to be a part of it, and they want to go with you along the journey as well.
Yeah, very interesting, John. I'm sitting listening to you, and I think about how stupid a newsletter is. It's such a simple thing. Half the time we don't read half the newsletters we subscribe to, but it's a visibility thing. And it doesn't take a lot of time. Send out a newsletter once a week, once a month, once in 2 weeks, I don't know. But it's a way to continue the conversation, and it really doesn't take a lot of time. I want to tell this quick story. I was involved in a project with the Mpumalanga legislature, which was a client of mine in 2014. And I sat there for 5 months, every week for 5 months, drove there on Mondays, drove back on Fridays, like full-time job almost for 5 months. And I got back and I built a very good relationship with a number of people there. And if you know public sector, people don't stay there too long. It tends to rotate. There's a bit of a revolving door there. People go in and out. But there are people there that were there in 2014. I worked with them for numerous years afterwards on much shorter projects. And during the COVID years, that 2019, 20 thereabouts, didn't do any work for them. And then they reached out to me and I did a project for them again. Last year, I decided, that I've been there quite a few times actually, but last year I over the holidays, I decided in the new year, I'm going to send a few strategic people just a WhatsApp early on in the year. They might not be working yet. And it's not a New Year's message, just how's it going? So about the 10th or so of January, I took this list of names that I populated and I started sending a WhatsApp, but very specific personal messages, not just a broadcast. And I remember sending to the financial manager there a message saying, how's it going? Hope you had a good holiday and that you have a good year. And then let me know if there's anything I can help you with. And there's another person in Pietermaritzburg that I sent more or less the same message to that I also worked with. I only met the guy once, but I do offsite work for them. And I send him more or less the same message. And both of them responded on the same day saying, listen, thank you for the message. Yeah, we'll talk. Don't worry. And somewhere in Feb, both of them came back, asked me for a proposal, both deals signed. It's just, I've stayed in contact and I've just built out this relationship further and further. And we obviously have a good rapport. We know each other. We're familiar with each other. We know what we can deliver on both ends. But just staying in contact, as I was listening to you, I was thinking to myself, would this have happened if I didn't reach out first? They might have gone and said in April, listen, we need this now. Can you do it? And I might not have had capacity. But the fact that I preempted a little bit and I actually just said, how's it? And said, listen, let me know if I can help you. And they remembered me. They remember about me. And they actually reached out. And on both sides, I've got a bit of work. So I think it's the familiarity aspect that people need to know that you are there. People need to know that you are still alive and active and willing. But they also need to understand what you do. And if you can get that right, people will start coming to you. And they will start advocating for you. And I think that is the power. And you've mentioned that. That is the real power, yes. The referrals from your supporters. Because you only know 10 people. But those 10 people each know 10 other people. So there's 100 people close. But you don't have access to 100. You only have access to 10. So what do you feed the 10 people? How do you do it effectively without cheesing them off so that they actually want to run away? But to keep in their faces. And I think a newsletter, WhatsApp, some videos, posting on LinkedIn, and phoning. I mean, sometimes we just forget. If I've got a few friends that phone me every week. And I mean, just the mere fact that they phone me, we build into each other's lives. But if they didn't phone me, would take weeks before we actually get to speak to each other at all. So I think it's important that we don't forget about just calling someone and say, how's it? How are you doing? And then maybe ask if there's anything you can help them with. Easy as that.
Excellent. I think that's a wonderful story to wrap up the podcast on, Rudolf, because it shows that you need to do something as well. You need to just stay in contact. But you didn't say, hey, here, buy my stuff. Remember me, buy my stuff. This is what I'm doing. You just stayed in contact and you plant a seed. And sometimes you just need to nudge a person, remind them, hey, I'm still here. I'm still doing this. I'm getting better at it every year. Maybe now's the right time. Don't just write off a person because they didn't buy from you in 2024. Maybe it just wasn't the right time. People forget that. You're not in the market to buy a house or buy a car, but maybe in 2025 you are. And I think you need to, if you stay in contact with them and you learn more about them, over time you learn, okay, maybe this guy's ready now. Or maybe, oh, I see he's struggling with this. I'm just going to offer my help. And if he says no, it doesn't mean I again throw the relationship away. Maybe it happens down the line. Or maybe he sees my offer to help and refers me to someone else who needs it more. Or who's in a better position. So we need to be very clever in terms of how we manage this stuff and not just be in a sales mode, because sales mode just irritates everybody. People just literally shut off. So I think, Rudolf, to wrap up today, I think our advice to our listeners, there's three things that they can do. The first one is be intentional. Know who is my friend, who is my supporter, and who is my connection. Understand the difference between those three. Understand where they fit in terms of your value chain and how you approach them in terms of sales and referrals and things like that. I think that should be the basics. Who's my friend? Who are my connections? Who are my supporters? And how am I adding value to each of them? Not just how am I selling to them? That comes right at the end. And then be generous. Offer value first. How can I help this person? That's sometimes the best advert, is to help somebody. Hey, man, let me take care of that for you. Let me help you get that stuff done, or let me support you, or let me send 10 of my staff to your training program or something like that. That really then keeps you top of mind. People really want to be connected to you. They want to stay your supporter just by doing that. And then the last one, be consistent. And this is something that we said quite a lot as well on the podcast. Don't just show up every now and then and go on a massive sales drive and, oh, I need to be your friend again because I need you to buy from me. But if we're intentional and we set up these regular meetings, like exactly like what you did with your friend with the bra, if you're seeing someone every 3 weeks or once a month or once a quarter, schedule that in, be consistent, and that's how the relationships form. That's how you go from connection to supporter to friend, and it takes time. So it's not going to be a quick win, but the more intentional you are about it, I really think you can get amazing success. Absolutely amazing success because you're playing the game right and you're known as someone that plays the game right. And you're just going to attract the right people. You're going to filter out the people that are chances, Kansfutters, people that want to undermine you, people that want to backstab you. You're going to filter all of those people out because you're going to be known as a person of value, a key person of influence, and people want to be connected to people like that. Any final words from you today, Rudolf?
Yeah, very good, John. I quite enjoyed this, but I think one last thing from me might be that it doesn't mean that everyone needs to move to friends. Everyone can also not be supporters, but if we understand where certain people are in our lives and where we want them to be, maybe, then we can work on it. So I think you also typed out something about being strategic, knowing exactly what you want from the situation and where you want this to go. And then you can work on it. Now that we understand what it is and how to potentially change that or evolve in it, I think it's important to know what you want to achieve with that. So if you want someone to be a friend, then you're going to have to spend a lot of time and you're going to have to work on it. And likewise with a supporter. So how you feed them information and how you back them up and how you add value will determine in which direction this is moving. And I think that is almost entirely in our own hands. So if you're able to think about it strategically and drive that process, then I do firmly believe that it'll happen.
No, excellent. I agree 100% with you. I think the ball's in your court. It's up to you to manage it. You can't change the game. So just play the game better. Just be a better supporter of other people, a better connection to know, and a better friend to your friends. And that's how you retain them. That's how you maintain them. And then that's how you also attract the right people towards you. Rudolf, great discussion as always. Looking forward to hearing what the listeners say. Ladies and gentlemen, please subscribe to the Right Place podcast. Please share this episode with your connections, your friends, your supporters. And please reflect on this. These things are not sometimes quick changes, but there are changes that you can make over time and being more intentional about it. And Rudolf, thank you so much. And ladies and gentlemen, we will see you next time at the right place. Cheers.